Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living. We've got the doors open here at the center today. With Christmas just a couple, less than a couple weeks away, we're thinking about in-laws and how to be intentional at Christmas time with in-laws. Maybe you have a great relationship, maybe it's an okay relationship, maybe it's strained, but you're spending time with in-laws, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, mother and dad, daughter-in-law, brother-in-law, whatever. Christmas with the in-laws. What works for you? But how are you being intentional with your in-laws? We got some great help for you today. Really practical stuff about in-laws at Christmas.
When does ho, ho, ho become oh, no? Could it be one of those days that you spend with your in-laws during the holidays? From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. So if you dread the time you spend with your in-laws, or maybe you've made that time a blessing, we'd love to hear your story. Our lines are open and toll-free, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. In-laws. You know, I make the statement that any sort of a relationship that ends with the word law can be problematic. And we know that it just reflects the fact that this is a relationship that has been developed that you didn't choose. In other words, when you get married, there's in-law relationships that begin. And so managing these in a way that's healthy is a decision. And for Christians, boy, we have an opportunity to be exceptional in our attitude toward this. I will say this, however, at Christmas time, I mean, the expectations are just unbelievable. They're right off the chart with everything supposed to be upbeat and positive and great and wonderful and so on. And so you get with the in-laws and maybe it doesn't work out. Let me just say this. If Christmas with the in-laws is a problem, Christmas isn't the problem. It's the other 364 days that the problem has existed between you and your in-laws. And maybe it's been buried, ignored, tolerated, whatever. But like tea in a hot water, it comes out at Christmas time. And so I always tell people, listen, if you got a problem with your in-laws, as a Christian, do your best job to get along with everyone the best you can. That's what the Bible says. To the extent that it's possible, that lieth within you, the Bible says, be at peace with all men. Yeah, but you don't know, Randy. It's my mother-in-law or my daughter-in-law or whatever. Yeah, I do know, because the reality is in-law relationships is a matter of a decision that you want to support the one you love in that relationship that they're in. So I'd ask the question, what are you doing to try to make this a good thing for Christmas? What is it you do to make it work? Because you're bringing into this Christmas season expectations minus reality equals disappointment. You know, the formula of intentional living: expectation minus reality equals disappointment. Different cultures, different traditions, different expectations, different schedules, different food, different whatever. And you have certain expectations are not being met, and it can be a problem. All right, the phone line's open. Love to have you come and join us. 888-888-1717.
I'm really struggling right now with the relationship I have with my husband's father. He uses very cutting, hurtful words frequently when we're around him. It makes me very nervous and hesitant to be around him. And now I have a small child, and I've heard, you know, cutting remarks made to my sister and brother-in-law's children before. And, you know, I'm just afraid that I don't know what to do if, for example, I should hear him make a cutting remark about my little girl. That would really affect me, and especially my relationship with my spouse.
All right. I guess it will. Man, listen, we have a responsibility and opportunity to really love on the people that those that we love, love. And during in-law relationships, it's an opportunity to really model Christ. I like what Rachel says. She says, God has blessed me with incredible in-laws. I am fortunate enough to spend the upcoming holiday with them. In the very next post, to show you the contrast, Noreen says, I'm not going to dwell on the fact that my son won't talk to me. You know, so we have these various relationships that can be so difficult and painful, unfortunately. Okay, Candace, welcome to the program, Candace.
Thank you. Hi.
I appreciate it. Appreciate your call. What's your comment on this topic?
My comment is, you know, sometimes people have a habit of criticizing, and I think a lot of times people just want to feel heard and feel like they're a part of it, and the only way that they can really do that is to make, you know, nagging little remarks. And I came across something recently that said, you know, whenever there's a problem with a parent, it's because they don't feel like you're honoring or respecting their contribution and what they have to offer. Mm. And so, like, around the holidays when people criticize and stuff like that, you can't take that in and think that it's always about you. Sometimes that's just, you know, their pattern and how they're trying to communicate.
Is that how you do that? How do you get along? Do you have in-laws?
I do. And one thing that I think is important is just to acknowledge them. You know, when they have a way of setting the table or something that they think is important, ask them, you know, what do you think about that? Or, oh, that's a really good idea. You know, include them. Because as you get older, you know, your body hurts. You kind of feel exhausted. You know, you just want to feel like your ideas matter and that you have something important to contribute and that you're respected for it.
That's good.
And I think that clears up a lot of the problems with some of the family members.
You know, I think you're right, Candace. I think sometimes it's a respect issue. People don't feel respected. And it cuts both ways. Sometimes it's just a jealousy. There's a sense of fairness, you know, time or, you know, spending this much time with one family versus that family. And, you know, there's lots of little things that just kind of they get in there, little sticky things that can get into a relationship with in-law type relationships that can be problematic. And if we don't have realistic expectations when we approach a time like Christmas, they tend to come out. Then if some family's really unhealthy, they don't share the same faith or, you know, there's alcohol and other kinds of things that can become a real problem. So what's the one thing that you do that really has made a difference? Is it along the line of showing respect for your in-laws?
That's a part of it. And it's also, you know, my happiness is my responsibility. Mm-hmm. And it's about me and my relationship with God. And theirs is theirs. You're not going to be able to make everybody happy, you know, during the holidays or any other time of the year. So they're responsible for their happiness, and I'm responsible for mine. Hmm. And, you know, I can be giving and loving, but when you go out of your way constantly and you just keep giving and it becomes unhealthy and you do it without boundaries, then you just feel resentful and tired. But if you, you know, you do what you can, but you allow other people to have their stuff because it's not always about you. It's not always, they may project it onto you, but it's not always your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So knowing what's your stuff and knowing what's theirs is, I think, really helpful.
Very good. Good thoughts today. Candace, appreciate your call.
Thanks so much. Have a good day.
You too, and have a Merry Christmas. Appreciate your call. You know, Christmas expectations are huge, and many times we're disappointed with ourselves and those in our family because, let's face it, just another day. We're celebrating Christ's birth. When we keep the focus where it belongs, keep our expectations in check, that can help us a great deal. But maybe you're going to be together with some in-laws as a party. Maybe it's at their home. Maybe they're coming to stay with you or vice versa. And I've got three really important, really practical things that I believe you can do to be intentional that will make a difference during this Christmas time with in-laws. I'll tell you what those are in just a moment. You can come join us as well at 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Amy with Intentional Living. I was asking folks, what is your worst in-law story?
They have this like very passive way of hating you where it's not like they hate you at all and that they perfectly like you, and you'll be sitting in the room and they'll be like, well, hello. And they'll give you this look like you're the dirtiest, horriblest person on the entire face of the planet and that you should just leave. But they don't actually say it. And it's probably worse than if they'd actually told me that they didn't like me, but I just had to infer from their actions.
I had my first son, and we were coming back from the hospital, and when I got home, I realized that my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law had cleaned my house, and I just burst into tears because my first thought was that she didn't think my house was clean enough. But in retrospect, and after lots of drama, I realized that it was just a blessing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was listening to those and commenting to the staff. I think sometimes we just misread people. You know, we see someone and we get a look that we don't understand or a word that we don't quite understand. Instead of really getting to know the person and clarifying what's going on, we misread it. Someone cleaning the house after the birth of a baby and it being misread as, hey, you don't think my house is clean enough, which obviously is not the intention. Isn't it easy to really misunderstand each other in these very heated, important relationships? All right, what are you doing to make Christmas with the in-laws a good thing? Let's go to Shanae. I think I got that right. Shanae, welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Thanks.
Good. Go right ahead.
I listen to your show all the time. Thank you so much for your ministry.
Thank you.
Well, I'm calling because I had a comment and a question.
Okay.
My comment was that certainly anytime my in-laws are coming, I start praying for them and praying for myself to ask the Lord to help me to see them how he sees them as his children. And, you know, just understanding that they are well-meaning individuals who really don't desire to bring harm or to, you know, maybe offend anyone, even though sometimes my mother-in-law can. So just being prayerful the entire time is always helpful. But then my question was, I have a mother-in-law who likes to come for extended visits for like 3 to 4 weeks at a time.
Wow.
And maybe that is not a lot of time. I'm not sure. But for my family, it's a lot for us because I have a family of three and we have a small home and one bathroom. And, it just kind of stretches me to my limit because I have such a desire to be like a really great hostess and lavish her with love and anything that she could possibly need or want while she's in our home. But then by like the end of week two, I'm like scrambling for patience.
And by week three, when are you leaving?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, who picks the 3 weeks? Is that her choice, or is that the invitation
That's
from your son?
That's
pretty
much her choice. I kind of get told, like, these are the days and times that I'll be there, and this is when I'm leaving. There have been times when there wasn't a return date in mind when she came.
How far does she travel? How far is she traveling to come and visit?
Pretty far, all the way from Alabama. So,
yeah.
And I live in Michigan.
Now,
so,
how's your husband respond to this?
Well, I have a very laid-back, passive husband who, he pretty much just responds with, okay, you know. And it's easier for him because I'm a stay-at-home mom, and so I'm home all day with her. And he's at work all day. So, you know, his amount of time that he's spending with her is very, very limited.
Right.
And then she's a female. I'm a female. So we just tend to do more of the talking than, you know, she and her son.
Yeah.
Do.
What I hear, too, though, is that you feel like you have to be on for 3 weeks.
I do.
You're
feel
on.
That way.
You know, and staying on for 3 weeks is tiring.
And I try to be free from that, but I don't know how.
Yeah, I mean, you use the word, I like to lavish her and be a great hostess, which is a good thing, and that's positive for a day or two. But 3 weeks of being on and never being down, not having your normal routine, not having the house be the way you like it to be and normally and so on, is going to wear anyone out. Anyone. And certainly my wife, I can relate. My wife would, you know, 3 weeks, that would be a lot for her, thinking, wow, I have to be on all the time because she's a great hostess and loves to do that. So I think you need I think you need to talk to your husband. If mom's coming for 3 weeks, you and your husband need to talk about your schedule. You need to talk about some breaks for you. You need to have him step up and take more of the care of the home and doing things to take care of things and entertaining mom and taking care of mom. I think you just have to be realistic with your husband and saying, hey, my personality is such, I want to do a good job, but I feel the load at the end of 3 weeks instead of enjoying it. My guess is at the end of the time you might start feeling a little resentful.
Yes, I do.
And you don't
want
that.
To.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
So I think you start with your husband, and either there's going to be a limit on the amount of time mom's coming, but I can see that this is a big trip for her. If she's going to be there and you're in agreement with that, I think you and your husband need to sit down and talk about having him step up and help you.
Okay.
And so you get a break. You need to have a break. Because you can't be on, you can't have the on switch on for 3 weeks without at the end being exhausted at best and resentful at worst.
Right, right.
Yeah, or the other thing to do with mom would be to say, Mom, can we break the 3 week trip into a couple week and a half times during the year instead of all at one time? A little bit of chocolate's great, but a whole lot of it can make you sick.
Well, yeah, and it's not just once a year. It's more like three times a year. Like
9 weeks out of the year. Come on now. Yeah, I think maybe it's time for you and your husband to talk, because that may be just too much, frankly. You know, if she's going to spend that much time with you guys, then I think it's really important for you to have some schedule that's going to help you feel more in control of your own life. Okay, I thought it was Christmas. So we'll have to have you back, Shanae, when it comes to Thanksgiving, and we'll have to have you back for 4th of July, and we'll have to have you come back for Easter, because 9 weeks, that's about 20% of the year.
Our lines are still open for holiday stories about you and your in-laws. 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Say, have you started your Intentional One Thing Challenge yet? Maybe your one thing has to do with health. Amy, Dawn, and Sue have all determined they want to change their health for the better by eating better and exercising more in the next 30 days. What's your one thing? Join the Intentional One Thing Challenge today and we'll pray for you. Go to theintentionallife.com. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. We've got more in-law stories coming up. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Black Friday, we get up way too early, fight through crowds for things that honestly just don't matter that much. Well, this year, I'm buying something that will help put my family on a strong spiritual foundation for the new year. I'm going online to buy the Word for Your Life gift pack.
From the Intentional Living Center, the Word for Your Life gift pack includes a 90-day devotional book and the chronological Bible. The gift pack makes a great gift for someone you love or yourself. Each day, important truth from God's Word and the devotional bring everything into focus for your life. And right now, save 34%. Go to theintentionallife.com and order the Word for Your Life gift pack. That's theintentionallife.com.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
That's indeed true. Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to Christmas here at Intentional Living. Focusing on in-laws coming to visit or time with in-laws during the holidays, how can you, during Christmas season here, be very intentional with the in-laws?
My father-in-law will call and talk to my husband. He'll stop by my husband's work, but he completely ignores me and does everything he can to avoid me.
My in-laws just don't accept me. I do everything that I can for him. I love him dearly. And I would think just that alone, they would accept me, but just treat me terribly.
You know, my parents have always been very supportive people that have been there for us. And my husband and father got into a big fight this summer. And it ended with my husband telling my dad he had 10 minutes to get off our property.
Well, I have a controlling father-in-law. My husband and I have been married for 14 years. And this past spring, I had a confrontation with him. He was disciplining our children in my presence in a way that I did not agree with, and I asked him to stop.
Sad stories, really. You know, Christmas time with in-laws, three things very quickly. One, be truly interested in them if you can, really. Find out about their history, their upbringing, their background. Questions to listen, Listen to their heart. Listen to who they are. If you can break through, some people, I know that's tough. Secondly, listen, if you're spending time with your in-laws, control the agenda if it's in your home. What I mean is have a schedule. Have something planned. We get into trouble when we just have nothing going on and we're just one thing leads to another, if you know what I mean. To control the agenda in a positive way, schedule activities for a positive time of sharing with the family, doing things, have it on some sort of a schedule that'll help move things along. And then number three, stay flexible and focused on the real meaning of Christmas. As you're together, stay focused on relationships. You know, I hear these sad stories of my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, or whatever never liked me. They're going to be gone someday. And to the extent, as the Bible says, that it lies within us, live peaceably with all men. It's a decision that we must make. Okay, Tony's in Michigan. Hi there, Tony.
Hi, it's Wanda Robbins, actually.
Oh, in Georgia. Okay, well, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
It says here you don't think your mother-in-law likes you. How so?
Ever since me and my husband first got together, she always decided like she didn't like me, accused me of trapping my husband in a marriage because I got pregnant, but, you know, it takes two to have a baby, you know. Wasn't intentional. Both my kids were blessings. I was told I'd never be able to have kids, and now I've got two wonderful children. Mm-hmm. But it just, I feel like I try to go out of my way to get her to like me, and nothing I do works. And she reads her Bible, and she goes to church, and I don't know what to do. I mean, I've given it to God.
Well, Tony, listen, let me just be really practical. I think sometimes things are done early in a relationship with in-laws. That maybe weren't intended to be hurtful, but they were, and they get stuck, and they get locked into our minds and our memories, and a person moves on, but one person that was hurt lingers. Some people cling to things and hang on to thoughts, and it's hard to forgive. I think this biblical admonition to forgive one another is beautiful at this point. Forgiving, letting it go. Then secondly, when you say, you know, I do everything I can to make her like me, I think we got to change our goal when it comes to that. I don't think our goal should be, I'm going to do everything to make her like me or him like me. I think my goal should be, and this is not semantics, this is a biblical truth. Our goal ought to be that I'm going to do what Christ wants me to do in this relationship, regardless of how they respond to me. Regardless if they're going to, quote, like me or get along better or what have you. Because, again, it goes back to the formula. Listen, folks, if you forget anything we talked about today, write this down somewhere. Expectation minus reality equals disappointment. And everything in life, and as long as we have an expectation, if I do this, they're going to like me, and they don't, then I'm disappointed. Or if I do this, I'm going to get a positive response, and you don't, you're disappointed. Lower your expectations. Boundaries are okay, that we don't do things that are going to be inappropriate in our home. It's our home, our family. But expectations need to be lowered. Keep them very realistic. Because, you know, a low expectation, then all of a sudden reality is better than you expected. Hey, that's positive. It's a decision. It's a mental, spiritual, relational, behavioral decision. That's intentional living. It's a decision that you and I make to be intentional in this relationship. I pray that you'll just have a great Christmas with your in-laws as a result of a decision you make to be intentional in that relationship.
I live intentionally by taking in my 81-year-old mother-in-law, who actually has four sons of her own and a daughter who is my wife. And the mother-in-law does not like me whatsoever, but I feel it's God's will for me to provide for her, as her own sons will not. And she thinks that the reason that her sons don't visit her is because of me. I try not to carry that burden on my shoulders. I let it go. I let God have those problems, and I pray every day for strength to carry on. And she's a lovely, wonderful lady, just doesn't understand what's going on in life. And I'm happy to help. I love her, and I love her daughter, and I love her family.
Boy, very reflective half hour, isn't it? You know? You know, I was thinking about hope today, and people, when they give up hope, they give up life. Hope is that it's kind of like water to a parched life. You and I need hope. You know, I'm often encouraged by what Jeremiah reminds us about as a prophet. He says to us that God has not only offered us a hope, provided hope, but as well a future, a hope and a future. And we, here in this ministry, and of course in your own life, we possess the message of hope in Christ for the world. And by living and then sharing that hope through your circle of influence, you know what? People's lives can be changed. God has provided the gift of hope for your life. He's given you the gift of a future for your life. The daily question is, what do you intend to do with those gifts? And that question is foundational to every other question in life. So what is your intention? How do you intend to respond? The reality is your future is coming, and how you decide today about tomorrow matters. It matters to your family. It matters to your friends and to the world and to your future. Here at the Intentional Living Center, we provide very practical encouragement and instruction on the process of making life decisions and then taking a daily lead in our lives. And through that, living it out every day, hope. We experience hope in Christ and thereby making each day better than the one before. Hope is an intentional decision. You know, by equipping people to understand and then apply the principles of living intentionally in Christ, we've seen couples and singles and youth and seniors experiencing hope and more freedom from a life of mediocrity and the limitation of just getting by. We've seen single moms and dads growing in confidence, young people making life decisions by honoring Christ through the fulfillment of their life calling. Hope abounds through intentional living. You know, we're really a discipleship ministry, and as a discipleship ministry, intentional living is leading the way and pointing people to Christ. Let me ask you, what difference has intentional living made in your life? Or what difference could it make if you chose to live intentionally? That's a huge question. It's a question worth pondering. As a ministry, intentional living is supported by a community of believers that desire authenticity in life, something real in an unreal world. They desire belief to become hope and hope to become daily action and daily action to increase the confidence that they have in hope that they've placed in Christ in the first place for today and for the future. I invite you, come join us through yours and other people's intentional financial support at this very critical point in the year. We'll be able to continue sharing intentional living around the world in 2015. You'll be offering hope in Christ, which is a path to purpose and meaning. Now, between now and the end of the year, we're counting down the need. And as of today, we're behind pace where we need to be by the end of 2014 to be on target. So I'm asking you to share the best year-end gift you can right now. $100, $200, $500. And the good news is it will be matched dollar for dollar. $66,000 of that $85,000 matched has been met. God bless you. Come join us at theintentionallife.com. Indicate you'd like to have that gift matched, and I thank you in advance. Theintentionallife.com. We'll see you next time.